Reading now from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be." If correctly read, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3. I want us to notice the beginning of verse 3, where the Word of God says, "If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth." Usually in the Word of God, when we think about darkness or we think of clouds, not only in the Word of God, but in our daily lives, when we talk about dark times, when we talk about a dark cloud being over our heads, what are we usually thinking about? What are we talking about when we talk about dark clouds? Yes, usually we're talking about troubles and problems and afflictions that we have. And even in our daily lives, as we look over the skies, if we see a lot of white clouds, maybe beautiful against the blue sky, we see a lot of white clouds, do we usually prepare for any kind of a storm when we see those white, puffy clouds flying around? Do we prepare for anything? No, not at all. But if you see a huge dark cloud from the east or the west, if you begin to see a dark cloud coming, usually you know if that cloud is so dark that it looks completely black, you know that that cloud is full of rain. And that's what this verse of Scripture is talking about. If the clouds be full of rain. Those are dark clouds. And I think it represents times in our lives that we have great trouble. Sometimes the dark clouds, we see them coming. How many times have you thought that we were going to get a big rain and the dark clouds went around us instead of coming over us? And so we completely missed that rain. There have been many times, I know that some of you that have cows and fields and you have gardens and other things and you want the showers of rain. You want the clouds to come over our heads because the Scripture says here that if the clouds be full of rain, what do they then do? They empty themselves. Now, it's the emptying of the clouds that brings great blessing. We need the rain. We thank God after we've been through a long season of not having rain. Instead of dreading dark clouds, we're thankful to know those dark clouds are coming because we do hope that those dark clouds are bringing rain. And the Scripture says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. So it is that as we think about our lives and we think about the dark clouds coming, there are times that we become very afraid. We actually even get depressed and discouraged when we see dark times in our lives. Sometimes the cloud, it seems, just hangs over our head. And all we see and we feel is the lightning and the thunder. And we feel the dark cloud over our head. Have you ever felt like a dark cloud was just following you around in your life, figuratively speaking? Have you ever felt like that there was nothing but trouble coming in your life and one trouble upon another trouble? That's the way storms are sometimes. Last night at our house, we had some wonderful rain that came. If it had been during the daytime and we had seen the clouds coming, we might have made some kind of preparation. There are things that I would have done in preparation for those dark clouds if I had known they were coming last night that I did not make. Caused a little problem at my house because I didn't prepare for the rain, the dark clouds. The people of God can prepare themselves for many dark clouds that come in their lives. If we stay close to God, God is light. Remember that. That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And so when we see the dark clouds coming, or we feel that the clouds that are full of rain, if we feel that they are over our heads, and we're in a dark season in our lives, we need to especially draw nigh to God in the midst of all of that darkness. The Word of God tells us in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 21 that Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Now, brethren, if Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was, his love for God and his confidence in God were greater than his fear of the thick darkness. Thick darkness will usually make most anyone afraid. I'm talking about darkness that is so thick that you feel like that you can almost reach out and touch the darkness. If you've ever been out in the woods and it's been completely dark, or you've ever been in a place where you were in a strange surrounding and it was totally dark, where there was no light at all, you probably had some apprehension, anxiety, and concern about what might happen in that situation. So the Word of God says here, if the clouds be full of rain, and the clouds are sometimes full of rain, we need to pray that God will help us to prepare for the clouds being full of rain. The beautiful part is not just looking at the dark clouds, but the fact that the dark clouds are full of rain. That means that there are blessings that come with those dark seasons. That if the Scripture says here, if the clouds be full of rain, what is the promise that it gives here? If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. We all have been thanking God for the rain, but we didn't want necessarily the clouds. We would like sometimes for God to send the rain without the storms. I have a grandson especially that if he hears thunder, it makes him very upset. If he sees a dark cloud, it upsets him. I want you to know, brethren, that in all of our lives, there are things that will frighten you. There are things that will make you afraid. You're going to, from time to time, you're going to see dark clouds coming. You're going to hear the thunder. You're going to see the lightning. And you're going to be afraid because of the storm, because of the dark cloud that you know is coming. But I want you to prepare for something wonderful after that cloud comes. After the storm, in the lives of God's obedient children, there are great blessings. There are showers of blessings that come down on the people of God after the storm. When the people of God have been serving God and loving Him, when they have been drawing near without fear, have been drawing near to the thick darkness where God is, when they're not afraid of the darkness because they see the light of the Son of God, when the people of God have no fear, as Jesus has taught us to do, we're going to experience the dark clouds, yes, but what are we going to be thinking about? We're going to be thinking about the rain that's coming with the dark cloud. We're going to be thinking about the times of refreshing. You know, it's amazing to me that a dark black cloud can send rain down on the earth. They empty themselves, is the way the Scripture says here, that the dark clouds empty themselves on the earth. And what does it do to your grass the next day? Have any of you noticed that after a good rain with a lot of lightning? Have any of you ever noticed what it does? I know the grass grows, and I don't like for it to grow. I wish my grass would just all stay the same all the time so I didn't have to cut it. But one thing is the grass grows, but it looks so much greener, especially when you've had a lot of lightning going on, and there's a lot of nitrogen, and there are elements in the rain that come down. It replenishes the earth. My garden, when I plant a garden and I try to water that garden, watering it with the hose does virtually nothing. It may keep it alive. But I'm telling you, when I see the dark clouds coming, I know that when God empties those clouds on my garden, the fruit comes forth abundantly. I need, in my house, in my area, we need the dark clouds because we need the rain that comes with the dark clouds. And the same thing is true in all of our lives. As children of God, we need the dark clouds because it's from those dark clouds that we receive great blessings. It's amazing to me that the black cloud, and I just was thinking about this last night. How can a black cloud, it's kind of like a cow eating green grass and giving white milk and yellow butter and all the other things that we talk about. How can a black cloud drop all that water out on the earth and make the grass green and make your tomatoes big, bright, and red, make your squash yellow and your peas green, and all the different colors that are there in the garden? It all is because of the dark cloud that comes. The same thing's true in our lives. The most beautiful children of God, listen carefully, the most beautiful children of God are the children of God that have had dark clouds in their lives. Their faith has been tried over and over and over again. And as God sends those dark clouds and they empty themselves upon the earth, you know what you are? You're earth. And when the dark clouds empty themselves over the earth, what a great blessing it is to see the life that's brought forth because of the dark clouds and the rain that comes with those dark clouds. The scripture says in Psalm 30 and verse 5, the word of God says, weeping may endure for a night. What is night? It's darkness. Weeping may endure for a night, but what happens in the morning? But joy cometh in the morning. So the dark clouds come. And as the dark clouds come, we don't always like to see them coming. If we've had a famine and we know what the dark clouds bring, we're going to be glad to see the dark clouds because we know there's going to come good out of those dark clouds. But if we don't understand anything about God and the workings of God, all we're going to see is the dark clouds and the lightning and the thunder, and we're going to be afraid instead of having great confidence that what God brings in our lives is for our good and makes us grow and bring forth fruit to His honor and glory. Go with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter. Turn to the New Testament, toward the end of the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter 1, listen please, beginning in verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Now, he's just been talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you go home and read the earlier part of this chapter, he's been talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pray tell me what happened before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You had the crucifixion. And when you think about the crucifixion, you're reminded of how the Word of God tells us that there was darkness that covered the earth. It was darker that day than it has ever been or will ever be in the future. There was great darkness that came upon the earth. And with that cloud of great darkness that came in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, was there rain in that cloud? Were there blessings that came out of that dark day when Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary? Indeed, there were. Was there sorrow? Was there shedding of tears? Was all hope lost in the minds and hearts of the apostles? Indeed it was, because all they looked at and all they saw was the dark cloud, and they forgot to remember this verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 11 that says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. We need to remember that verse of Scripture. You're going to have some dark clouds in your life. Brother Tandy and Sister Gail right now have some dark clouds. Tears are shed. Frightening times. Lightning is sounding. The thunder is there. The noise is frightening. With their grandsons being in NICU, and if your grandsons were in NICU, you would be going through a very, very dark time. Probably in this building, there's no one going through a darker time that I know of than right now. Isn't that amazing, too, the way the dark clouds will go? You can be at the mall here in Wake Cross and it'll be pouring down rain. And you come down Brunswick Highway and it is still pouring down rain. And you can turn right on Acock Road and the rain turns off. That's where the cloud, there's something up there that puts a wall right there when it starts down Acock Road. Now it rains enough on Acock Road, but I just get amazed. I was looking at clouds this week and I was looking at dark, I mean completely black, and just the line between where the cloud was or is and the cloud was not at all there. And in this congregation, right now, there are those that are blooming and are green and are full of joy and the sun is shining in your life, and there are others that have dark clouds over them. And so it is that all of us need to understand that whether the dark cloud is coming or whether the dark cloud is present or whether the dark cloud is leaving, please remember that God is the one who controls the clouds. Old farmers used to understand that. And they understood that they needed to stay on their knees because they needed the dark clouds. It's a shame and a disgrace that we have so little understanding in our hearts and minds and so much fear of troubles and problems and afflictions that all we can pray for is, God, please don't let the dark clouds come. There's no growth. There's no blooming. There's no fruit where there are not dark clouds. We need the dark clouds. I need them and you need them. They're good for us. David says, it's good for me. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Why? Because when the dark cloud's there, it empties itself on the earth. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I started to mention the first part of this chapter talks about the crucifixion. But then after the crucifixion, he talks about the resurrection. In the crucifixion, in 1 Peter chapter 1, he talks about how all hope was lost. It was a dark time. But, look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Was there a resurrection? Did Jesus get raised from the dead? Did that come before or after the storm, the dark cloud? There can be no resurrection of the dead unless there first is a death. Death of Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus Christ was absolutely necessary to save us from our sins. Without Jesus, without that dark day in the life of Jesus and a day that covered the entire earth with darkness, without that day, you would not spend eternity in heaven. You and I, as the children of God, we need to thank God for that dark day in the life of Jesus. Because of that dark day, we'll spend eternity in the city of light where there is no more darkness. But there'll be plenty of rain there. Nothing but blessings, nothing but joy, nothing but peace in the presence of God. I came after 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen to verses 6 and 7. The Word of God says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now, he's still referring about the resurrection in verse 3. He says, wherein, that is in the resurrection, ye greatly rejoice. Though, now, for a season. In other words, we're only going to have a little time of rejoicing. You follow this? We're only going to have a little time of rejoicing. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. At the time Peter had written this, Christ had been raised from the dead. And he says, now we went through a time of darkness with his death, and then we were begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we are happy about that. But right now, we have to sometimes have what? Heaviness. Darkness. And the expression used here is manifold temptations. Manifold temptations. That's darkness, darkness, darkness. That's cloud after cloud after cloud. Trial. Oh, yes. This dear sister has gone on to verse 7. Verse 7 says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Brethren, the dark clouds will come, but Jesus is there to pour out the rain upon your life. Go with me back just a moment to Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, there's so many scriptures that are on my heart and mind right now that just, I encourage you when you get home to read 1 Peter chapter 4. I didn't go there, but 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 through 15. I encourage you when you get home to look at James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. But right now, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. I want you to notice verse 11. How many of you have ever been chastened by God? Did you know the word chasten is not used very often today? And I was teaching some children one time about being chastened and about parents chastening their children. And I said, how many of you know what it means to be chastened by your parents? And they said, well, that's like you do something wrong and your parents start chastening after you. Well, that's not chastening. If your children run from you, you haven't been doing enough chastening. Chastening is discipline. Chastening usually is spanking, whippings. And I've been whipped by the Lord. How many of you enjoy the chastening of the Lord? Is it a dark cloud? Is chastening a dark time in your life when you're chastened of the Lord? That's a dark time. It's a cloud. It's not a little white cloud. It's a cloud that's full of water. It's got the lightning and the thunder with it. When God comes to chasten us, do you know what we see and what we feel? We feel fear. We see the lightning and we see the thunder and we're so afraid. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 now in verse 11. Hebrews 12, the Word of God says this. And by the way, verse 8 says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. The Bible says that whom the Lord loveth, he what? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If God loves you, you will be chastened of the Lord. If God loves you, you will get the clouds in your life. Verse 11 says, Hebrews 12, verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What is Hebrews 12:11 saying? It's saying the same thing as Ecclesiastes 11:3, which says, if the clouds be full of water, what do? They empty themselves on the earth. Chastening does not, it is not joyous. There's nothing at all. I've heard people say that I'm glad I'm being chastened because I know the Lord loves me. I don't think I've ever felt that. It's only after He's through chastening that I feel the Lord does love me. But during the chastening, I don't personally feel the love of God. All I feel is the lightning and the thunder and the severe judgment. But after the chastening, what does it bring forth? Wait, listen. When you spank your children, does it yield fruit in their lives? Now, this idea that you can't control your children, you need some classes in how to discipline your children. I don't believe there's a child on this earth that can't be controlled. I believe parents don't know how to control their children. I don't even believe in juvenile delinquency. I believe in parental delinquency. It typically is not children's fault when they're wild and ruined. It's parents' fault. It's parents' fault. Have you ever seen fruit after you chastened your children? Have you ever whipped your children and you just saw them just act like little angels after you whipped them? And they brought forth fruit, and they just kept bringing forth fruit. You know what they need from time to time to keep bringing forth fruit? I'm not saying just whip them for no reason, but they do from time to time. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and they do need discipline. Go with me in closing, back up in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6 just a moment. Look in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. While you're turning there, I want to ask you, on the resurrection, the morning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, do you know what the Scripture says that the people did, the women did that morning? It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet, what? It was yet dark. It was yet dark. What did she get out of that darkness and going there in the dark? She got the great blessing of seeing the resurrected Jesus Christ. Now listen in closing to Hebrews chapter 6. Listen please to verses 7 and 8. Does it rain on us all? I'm just going to ask you this question. Does it rain on all of us here? Does it even rain on the just and the unjust? The Word of God tells us that plainly. And does it result in the same thing? Does rain result in the same thing in all of our lives? No. In fact, if you go home and carefully read Hebrews 12:11, it'll make it clear there are only certain people that are exercised by that discipline. Now listen to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. The Word of God says in Hebrews 6, verse 7, for the earth, that's what the rain falls on now, is the earth. That's what you're made of, is earth. You were made of the earth. You are of the earth, earthy. The Scripture says, for the earth, which bringeth in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, what happens to that earth? It receiveth blessing from God. Do you see that? That when God sends the rain on the earth, and when He sends that rain, if you bring forth fruit, if you bring forth herbs, that earth receives blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. I pray that God will help us to know and understand there are great blessings in dark clouds. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. May God help us to rejoice when we see the clouds, and may God help us when we are watered by God to bring forth fruit to perfection in our lives. It's my prayer for Christ's sake.